Good morning. Good to see everyone here. And we're going through the book of Colossians on Sunday mornings. And today we're in chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. So if you have a Bible, turn to that. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. And and I think we'll see, even just from these three verses, how as Christian brothers and sisters, we are interdependent. It says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. And, maybe you could join me in prayer as we ask the Lord to help us understand His Word this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and it's a privilege to have it available so easily to us, that we can just pick it up in many different versions, even in the English language, and read it and have a good understanding of what Your Word is. So we thank You for that, and we ask that through the Holy Spirit You would help us to understand Your Word, what it means to the people who received it first, and then what it means to us this morning. So we ask for Your help as we look at that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so these three verses may not have the same status in most people's minds as, say, something like John 3:16. But they're here, and we're going to talk about them today. We're going to look at this. And I think, in spite of the fact that they're not the most well-known verses, or talking perhaps about a couple obscure people, characters in the Bible, that is still useful for us. And I think even these three verses tell us that Christian brothers and sisters are interdependent. And that's the message I'd like to give to you from these three verses today. Christian brothers and sisters are interdependent. What does that mean? It's not so much necessarily dependent all the time, or it's not so much independent, but it's sort of something in the middle, interdependent, which means one person depends on the other, but they can both help each other. They're interdependent. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible, verses like these, or I'm just reading on my own every day, I'll kind of ask myself a question about what I'm reading, and I'll ask, why are these verses here included in the Bible? And I'll ask that if it's maybe some obscure detail that I'm not sure why it's there. Or sometimes I think it's good if I ask that question, even if it's quite a familiar verse or a well-known verse, or a phrase that's fairly well known, I'll ask myself, and I'd encourage you to ask yourself when you're reading the Bible, why is that verse included in the Bible? Why is that phrase there? Why is it stated the way it is? Why are these three verses here? We have the Word of God in the Bible. It's kind of like one book, and yet it's actually several, 66 books actually, together in one volume. But if you consider the fact that in this and this one book or collection of books, this is God's word to man. This is God's word to all of us. And so this has to cover, I guess, by the end of the last book was written, it's getting to be the best part of 2,000 years. So the Bible has to be God's word for everyone from that period till now and to into the future. So you could really imagine including a lot of things in there to try and cover all the bases. But I guess it's bigger than some books, but it's also small compared to how much you can imagine could and may be written to people that God would want them to know. So then you think, well, this is actually a very limited space to give people an idea of what God wants them to know. So why, in this limited space, would these three verses be included? When Paul, for example, could have included some other things. And I think the reason here is that Christian brothers and sisters are interdependent, and perhaps the church of Colossae and the other churches that Paul was ministering to and had an effect on, writing epistles to, were a little bit more fragile than we might think today, because now this is God's word. Colossians is God's word, but back then when he delivered this letter to the church at Colossae, perhaps not all the Christians, or not everyone, would have recognized that as God's word. So in a sense, it was God's word, but since people didn't necessarily recognize it as such, it was a little bit, shall we say, fragile in a sense. Or the teaching in a church was a little bit fragile, the leadership in the sense that any church at that time, they didn't have the Bible, and they were just starting to get letters from apostles. They were open and vulnerable to all kinds of false teaching, which is why we find, when we read Paul's epistles, countering false teaching. All these churches were very vulnerable to wrong ideas coming in the church. Anybody could stand up in the church at some point and say, I've got a word from God, and it's that we should be following all the Jewish laws, or we should be worshiping the sun and the planets, or whatever. Someone could stand up, and another person could stand up and say, no, that's not right, we should be doing this. And so at some point, who do you believe? And there's all kinds of spots in Paul's epistles, and we'll look at a couple, where Paul had to sort of assert his credibility and say, I'm an apostle, I'm sent from God, and so what I'm telling you is teaching from God. If you remember from 1 Corinthians, he was addressing the problem that some guys said, well, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, and so there was all this division, and it was almost like anybody's opinion was valid. And so sometimes today we don't, maybe, at least I don't think I always understand what it was like back then, because I have the Bible here and I believe it's solid, and it is solid, it's God's word, there's no question. But back then perhaps there was question. And so imagine how it was. This guy named Tychicus delivers the epistle, this letter from Paul to the church at Colossae, and perhaps he shows up some Sunday morning, and he stands up and says, good morning, I have a letter from Paul to read to you, Paul the Apostle, to read to you. And what would the reaction be? And hopefully, they were welcoming him and were ready and willing to listen to what he had to read of Paul's letter. But you can imagine people, some people sitting there would see Tychicus standing up and claiming to have a letter from Paul and saying, who are you? And so, hopefully, someone introduced Tychicus. If they didn't know him very well, maybe they didn't. But if they didn't, hopefully someone introduced him and said who he was. In a sense, that's what Paul's doing here in these verses. He's introducing Tychicus. Perhaps there were doubts when Tychicus first walked in and introduced himself, or when he started reading what he claimed was Paul's letter. It's kind of interesting how Colossians is actually linked in that way to the book of Ephesians, because Tychicus delivered the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians as well, and probably Philemon, right? Pretty close to the same time. So you see the Apostle Paul sort of talking about his own credibility as an apostle, in spots like in Ephesians, actually, chapter 3, verse 2 says, Paul says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." And then in verse 7 he says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." And so Paul is talking about the fact that he's an apostle, and God gave him credibility as an apostle through power. And in fact, Paul actually performed some miraculous signs to prove that he was from God in Ephesians. And so Paul is appealing to this credibility to say, okay, you should listen to what I'm saying, because I am in fact an apostle. Look just briefly at another example of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and in my Bible they put sort of a title on the passage called Paul's Defense of His Ministry. And so here's what Paul says to the Corinthian church in the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And so, moving on. Verse 12, he says, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." And so he's talking about his credibility, and actually in verse 11 he goes on comparing himself with other apostles. He says, in verse 3 of chapter 11, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way." So Paul was at pains to tell the Corinthians that he was actually an apostle and he had credibility. And so got Paul versus the false apostles. Who are you going to believe? Paul says, "Believe the true apostles. I'm a true apostle." And it sounds, as I've been reading through some of the epistles of Paul that he spends a fair bit of time almost defending himself, and I used to kind of wonder a little bit, why is he so defensive? And I guess the answer is, you know, you pretty much have to be defensive when you're being attacked. And he was actually being attacked as an apostle. His credibility was being attacked as well. And so, Christians are interdependent on each other. And in one example, Paul, as it shows here in Colossians, Paul depended on the Colossians. He depended on the Colossian church to be open-minded to his letter. And it's good to be open-minded, especially to God's Word. And some would say perhaps our mind is a little bit like a parachute. It works best when it's open a little bit. And perhaps some people weren't very open-minded to Paul. So he has to depend on them to actually listen to what he's saying in his letter. His credibility perhaps was at stake, even to the point, well, is this letter actually from Paul? And it says at the end of the book, in verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. And he did that a few times in his epistles and his letters. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. It's like a signature, this is me. And so you could probably back then have a few people that have seen it and could look at that. Let's see that scroll. It's written in Paul, that part is written in Paul's own handwriting, and actually verify, yeah, that's Paul's handwriting. That's him. This is actually written by Paul. And so his credibility was at stake there. Paul depended on the Colossians to be open-minded to his letter. Another spot in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And so, it's a little bit of a rhetorical question, the answer being no, because he should have credibility. He shouldn't need a letter of commendation or recommendation because he should have credibility as an apostle. Paul depended on the Colossians. The Colossian church depended on Paul. To look at, on the other hand, the Colossian church depended on Paul to be a credible apostle of Christ. Because, as we discussed, they can't just believe what anybody says. There's going to be false apostles, false teachers. So they depended on Paul to be a credible apostle of Christ. And one of the ways Paul shows himself to be a credible apostle is to send someone like Tychicus and Onesimus to deliver this epistle. So we have Paul now depending on Tychicus to lend him credibility. And so Tychicus could come and show up, give them the letter, and say, here's the letter, read it, and say, I have some news about Paul. Let me tell you what's happening with Paul, because I'm his, perhaps, representative, as Paul says in verse 8. Colossians 4, verse 8, I am sending him to you. So, Paul is sending Tychicus. Tychicus is Paul's representative, probably, to the Colossian church. So, Tychicus is going to lend Paul credibility by, it says in verse 8, informing them about Paul's circumstances, that you may know about our circumstances, and number two, that he may encourage your hearts. And so, someone that's going to reliably tell them about Paul is someone that's got some credibility that says this letter is actually from Paul. And I'll tell you what's been happening with Paul recently, because I've been with him, even though he's in prison in Rome, probably. I've been with him, and I can tell you what's going on with Paul and what he's been doing from prison the last little while. And since I've been spending so much time with Paul, a little bit, perhaps, of that has rubbed off on Tychicus, and he's a strong enough believer that he can encourage the hearts of the Colossians. And so the Colossian people will be sitting there listening to Tychicus tell them what's new, and they'll see, wow, this is really encouraging. And Tychicus is very strong in God's Word, in the Gospel. And sounds like he's been around Paul a little bit. And so Tychicus has credibility. And then he lends Paul credibility by showing up. So Paul depended on Tychicus. Paul depended on Onesimus, because perhaps the people didn't know Tychicus, but they knew Onesimus, because it says, verse 9, Tychicus is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And even though, as you may remember from when George introduced Colossians, who's Onesimus, and how that's related to the book of Philemon and those characters, there's actually a real story behind Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus appears to be have been a sort of a runaway slave from Philemon. And so he's coming, Onesimus is coming back, and he's probably become a believer as a result of Paul. And now, he's a familiar face. And so he can actually talk to the Colossian church and say, this is Paul, because I talked with him and visited with him, as well as Tychicus, and I can tell you that he's the one that wrote this letter, and this is for real. So even if they didn't know Tychicus, they know Onesimus, because he's one of their members. He's a member, at least familiar face to them, and now he's a believer. Now, someone that they know is with Tychicus. Interdependence. We are interdependent on each other. Paul depended on Tychicus, and Tychicus in turn depended on Paul. Tychicus's credibility depended on Paul too, because they didn't perhaps know Tychicus, so since he knows Paul, Paul can vouch for Tychicus, and that's what he does here. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is, number one, a dear brother, number two, a faithful minister, and number three, a fellow servant in the Lord. So those are three things that Paul provides as credibility for Tychicus. Tychicus now is depending on Paul to lend him credibility by including in his letter that he is, number one, a dear brother, number two, a faithful minister, and number three, a servant in the Lord. You know, the Colossian church also depended on Onesimus, didn't they? To lend that credibility. And so, it kind of goes both ways, interdependence. Paul is dependent on Tychicus to deliver the letter. Tychicus is dependent on Paul to tell the Colossians who he is. Interdependence. If it's true for them, it's probably true for us today, isn't it? And it's true in daily life. You can go to the doctor and you're dependent on their expertise. If you're gonna take whatever they prescribe and put it in your mouth and swallow it, you're dependent that they actually know what they're prescribing you. You're dependent on the pharmacist to actually give you the right drug. They have a little plaque on the wall that gives them some credibility. They've gone to school. They have a degree. And so you're dependent on them, and you're looking perhaps for some credibility. Your health depends on it, and so you depend on these people. We want to buy something off eBay, and so we look at the seller and we look at their rating. And is this a credible seller of something, or is it a fake thing from some far country? Not a real iPhone or something. So we depend on looking at a person's credibility. Are they credible? Do other people have anything good to say about them? So it is true here. It's true of this local church, Bethel Gospel Chapel. The elders of this church depend on the congregation, for starters, just to show up, because if they didn't, there wouldn't be much point in having any elders. They depend on the congregation, perhaps, to maybe read their Bibles once in a while. They depend on the congregation to perhaps submit to their leadership, assuming they're leading properly under God's word. Are the elders dependent on the elders? One of our elders, Frank, is away for a little while. We've written a letter of commendation for Frank to take to other churches, and so Frank can go to another church and say, "Hi, I'm Frank Parker," and they say, "Who are you, Frank Parker?" And he can give them a letter of commendation that says, "From the elders and deacons at this church, we'd like to introduce you to Frank Parker, who is a gifted teacher and worker in this assembly, and who is in good fellowship here." And so that's a letter of commendation. Frank, perhaps, if he's going to use that, then depends on us for his credibility there, and then he can pass on greetings from one church to another in a way. So the elders are interdependent, elders and deacons. The elders are dependent on the congregation. The congregation is dependent on the elders to provide good leadership, spiritual, Bible-based leadership. Because if they didn't, they would lose credibility, and then once again we would have a problem similar to some early churches and maybe some churches today where it's anybody's opinion is good. But hopefully the elders in this church will be credible, and their credibility depends on their respect of and application of the Word of God. That's what we've probably always believed here. And the congregation depends on the elders. The elders depend on the deacons. The deacons depend on the elders to provide spiritual wisdom and insight as to, for example, where best to put the congregation's offerings and financial givings, supporting missionaries, taking care of things like the building. And so interdependence, we depend on one another. This weekend I depended on the manufacturers of a conversion van that I borrowed to make a good product that would work. A little fridge in there hopefully works and keeps our milk cold, and so these manufacturers have credibility, and so I depend on that credibility. And so it's true in the local church, it's true of the elders and deacons. Interdependence is true of all of us as individual members of the church. In other words, if the church at Colossae would have seen Tychicus and asked, "Who are you?" Perhaps people in the church today could look at us and say, "Who are you?" The local church depends on you, and they may be asking, "Who are you?" And so that dependence means that we need to be credible. We just sang a few minutes ago, "We die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire, yet joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire." And so we depend on each other for our fellowship as a church to build up the church by being a credible brother or sister, and then doing as Tychicus did, encouraging each other's hearts. As a local church, we depend on each other as believers, and it's also true that unbelievers depend on us individually. They depend on us to be a credible witness to the gospel. And we were singing, "I'm a child of the King." And so we could say to someone that's not a believer, "I am a child of the King." And then they could say, "Really?" And they could question our credibility. And so hopefully, as Peter says, be ready to have an answer to everyone that asks you for a reason, the hope that lies within you. So we're prepared. Hopefully our life is credible and consistent as believers. And then we can be actually a witness to the gospel and have something to tell them about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. That they need to admit that they're a sinner, that they need to believe in Jesus as their Savior from their sins, and to commit to him as their Lord. Unbelievers depend on us to spread the gospel. And so I think that's what we're learning from our three verses today, that Christian brothers and sisters are interdependent, as it was with Paul and Tychicus and Onesimus. That's how it is for us. We're interdependent. We depend on each other. And so so let's be encouraged to build each other up. And there's lots of work to do. Every local church perhaps is a little bit fragile, just as the Colossian church was perhaps a little bit fragile and depended on God's Word. We depend on God's Word. And so we can be encouraged if we depend on God, that God's strong, God's credible, God's Word is credible. And so let's realize that we're dependent on God and His Word. We depend on the Holy Spirit to enlighten us spiritually as we read God's Word, and then we'll be strong and we'll build up our local church. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for these people in the Bible, people like Paul, people like Tychicus and Onesimus that you've told us about, that help us understand some of their challenges and that encourage us, because we know that the same power that you gave them is available to us. The same word that's became available to the Colossian church is now available to us, that we can read it and by your Holy Spirit learn and grow. And so we ask for your encouragement, that you would encourage us to stick together, to be an encouragement to each other as Tychicus was to the Colossian church, that you would encourage us to be dependent on your word, and to realize that our strength comes from you and your word. So we ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus.